This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Loving God, open our hearts that we may feel the breath of the Spirit. Unclench our hands so that we may reach out to one another and touch and be healed. Open our lips that we may speak your healing words. Unclog our ears to hear your agony in our inhumanity. Open our eyes so that we may see Christ in friend and stranger. Breathe your Spirit into us and touch our lives with the life of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. What am I to say 1 week after the worst attack on innocent people in the United States since September 11th, 2001? A madman with an assault rifle. Right here in our own state, 2 hours from here. Well, I have a heavy foot on the pedal, so maybe 2.5 hours from here. I hate to relive this, but I was in New York on 9/11, about an hour from the towers. I saw from the beach, which was in front of my house, the smoke that came up. And in the couple of months after that, the darkness in Lower Manhattan, as there were no lights from 14th Street to the Battery. And yes, I lost 2 cousins and a number of friends. More mad men. Following month to the day, plane crashed in Queens in a residential neighborhood, killing all aboard and several people on the ground, including my friend and her son, who was my son's friend. So now, here in Florida, just when things could not get worse last week, a little boy is grabbed by an alligator in a resort dubbed the happiest place on earth, in front of his family, and drowned. In England, a member of parliament is stabbed and shot to death. And in France, 2 policemen are murdered. And this is not to mention the daily slaughter in the Middle East. So, as I was trying to pray on this sermon, what came to me was a poem written in 1919 by the Irish poet William Butler Yeats. And Yeats wrote, "Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity." I want, as I begin, to reflect on God's word to us this morning, to thank Dees Laddick for choosing the cave as the central theme for the Vacation Church Camp. It is the perfect image and the perfect visual for our first reading this morning. Here we meet Elijah, and he is scared. Actually, he's terrified. It must seem to him that things are falling apart. You remember King Ahab and his wife have killed an innocent man simply because Ahab wanted his field. And now Elijah tells God, "The Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword." And now this bloody couple are looking for Elijah. So what does he do? He runs away. He hides in a cave. This prophet of God forgets about God and hides in a cave. But God sustains him on his journey, sends angels to feed him. And then God finds him in the cave and calls him out to hear God's voice. God's voice, as it turns out, is not in the wind and not in the earthquake and not in the fire, but in the silence. And in the silence, God reassures Elijah and sends him on a mission. And that mission ultimately saves the civilization which seems to be destroying itself. As we hear this Bible account today, how does it resonate with us? How is God speaking to us? What are we to do? Where is our hope? I think, like Elijah, if we are to hear God's voice, it will not be in the cacophony of the hurricane of strident voices over the airwaves. It will not be in the earthquake of the fearmongers and doomsday predictors. And it will not be in the fire of those who cry out with the Old Testament cry, an eye for an eye. Today's psalm tells us we can only put our trust in God. The children of our vacation church camp taught us a lot this week. They told us that Jesus gives hope, and Jesus gives courage, and Jesus gives direction, love, and power. And every time they said that, they followed it with, follow him. What can we do for our world? Follow him. And Jesus speaks to us as God spoke to Elijah in the silence of our hearts. So let's try that. Jesus gives us hope and courage, direction, love, and power. Follow him. Very good. I did that at the 7:45 alone. All of which brings me to today's gospel. Again, it involves caves of a sort, tombs, actually. Jesus is walking with friends in the country of the Gerasenes, across the lake from Galilee, when he comes upon a poor, demented man, no doubt driven from his town by frightened neighbors. In the story, Jesus frees him from many demons. He calls them out of the man and sends them into a herd of swine, who then run off a cliff and presumably die. Now, I must confess, I always feel sorry for the pigs. I do, because they are simply minding their own business, doing what pigs do. So it seems unfair. But let's remember, we're Episcopalians. That means we're not literalists when it comes to reading the Bible. This is a story Luke tells to make a point for his readers. If the man is possessed by a legion of devils and Jesus calls them out, well, they have to go somewhere. And pigs are, for the Jewish people, unclean animals, so let's have them invade the pigs. Today we know that the man was probably mentally ill. Did Jesus cure him of this affliction? No doubt. Are the people happy? No. They're frightened. They're scared. Power always causes fear in people. Even Jesus' power. But the man, he knows, he has experienced the healing, and he wants to follow Jesus. He wants to go with him. And Jesus says, no, if you want to follow me, you will testify to me in your own home place. Tell people what you have experienced so that they may believe. What has he experienced? That Jesus has the power over evil, that evil cannot overcome good. To paraphrase a Christmas gospel, a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Isn't this the word our world needs to hear? Isn't this the only answer to the seeming madness of our violent world? We who have experienced the consolation and compassion of God, mercy within mercy within mercy, to quote Thomas Merton, are charged as Elijah was, as this poor Gerasene man is charged, to witness this truth to the world, if necessary, with words, according to St. Francis of Assisi. And every peacemaker in the 20th century has echoed this. Everyone has said, peace must begin in the heart of each individual. Mahatma Gandhi said it, Nelson Mandela said it, Martin Luther King said it. And we sing ourselves very often, and everybody loves this hymn, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. We cannot despair. We cannot resort to the Old Testament cry of an eye for an eye. The children of Vacation Church Camp taught us as much this past week. They said, Jesus gives us hope. Jesus gives us courage. Jesus gives us direction. Jesus gives us love. And Jesus gives us power. Follow him. Amen.